Welcome to Real Talk Love Therapy. I'm Eli.
I'm Daisha.
Where we cut the bullshit, challenge stereotypes of what love looks like for the millennial age. This week's episode, do breakups always have to be messy?
Why do you always have to say it? Why can't I say it?
Oh my God. I'm just trying to keep up with the aesthetic of the show. Fine, go ahead, say it.
This week on Real Talk Love Therapy.
Well, it doesn't work as a...
Shut up. I hate you.
Go
let
ahead.
Me have my
right.
moment.
Right, go
I
ahead.
Let you talk, okay?
Go ahead, go
Even
ahead.
Even with
go
your
ahead.
Fake-ass Barry White voice.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Okay, so this week on Real Talk Love Therapy, we are talking about why do breakups always have to be messy? Or, fuck, I think I fucked that
this
up.
This is why I do it. This is exactly why I do it. First off, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for the shout-outs, the tweets, the retweets, the Instagrams, the DMs. I've seen all of them, so
yeah.
I appreciate it. Even the Choke Me Daddies. So thank you
what?
So much. But this week, we're talking about do breakups always have to be messy. So this, I was driving, and I was realizing I've never been broken up with. Like, I've always been the one to break up with someone. And actually, I did get broken up kind of once. Like, I dated this girl in high school for a day, and then she broke up with me for the next day. And
so I think that counts. So you have been broken up with.
Okay,
sorry. But, sorry, Pookie.
Okay, anyway, that one doesn't really count.
Nope.
But, yeah, I realized that. And, you know, my last relationship, we ended on a really good note. We ended it and as our best selves. I think there's a lot of tears and drama and disagreement, but at the very end of it, we ended in laughter and we hugged, and it was great, and we still have appreciation for each other. So I hear these stories about people like having these crazy breakups and like things like that, and it just gets me thinking that it doesn't always have to be negative if you look out for the red flags, if you will, if you're able to just, like, I guess emotionally be aware of the situation and call to it. So if I want to challenge the status quo and challenge that whole scene, is that breakups don't have to be messy.
Interesting. I agree as well. I don't think that breakups have to be messy. And I think it's interesting because I've also, my boyfriend and I recently broke up. And I would say it will probably be one of the best breakups that I will have in my life. Or maybe not, because I don't think I'm going to be dating until maybe I'm 40. But it was, I think there was a minute where I thought that it was going to be messy. And then the last day that we kind of talked about it, it was just this very sweet, genuine, like, I'm going to miss you a lot. And it was just such a beautiful connection. And it made me remember why I fell for him in the first place.
Aww.
Yeah, and so and it was hard because I dumped him.
Damn.
And don't be damning, like, you just said that you break up with all your peeps. So.
I didn't say dump. You were like, I dumped him. I just feel like he's like just crying in an alley.
All right. So anywhere with all your semantics bullshit. So yes, I dumped him, and it was the first time that I had ever dumped someone before.
Why do you have to say dump? It sounds so aggressive.
What do you want me to say?
I ended the relationship, or I broke up with him. I feel like dumping is like, I did you dirty, like peace. Like, I texted you, it's over, fam.
Okay.
Also, mail me my Xbox controller. That's what dumping feels with me.
I'm just like, that's how it's typically said.
Dumped?
You want to be fucking fancy over here? Fine. I ended the relationship with him.
There we go.
Is
that's
that
a little cleaner, because then it's I feel, if someone said you dumped me, Eli, I'm like, I didn't dump you. That just sounds so aggressive to me.
Okay. All right.
Which goes on the episode of does it have to be messy? And I feel like the word dump is associated with breakups, and it doesn't have to be a dumping. It's like a lifting.
I just feel like you're putting gift wrap over shit. It's still a box of shit at the end of the day when you open it, whether or not it has pretty gift wrap on it or not. But fine. I ended the relationship
okay,
with him.
That's good.
All right.
That's great.
All right. I don't really care if you like it or not. But anyway, So I ended the relationship. See, I don't even remember what the fuck I was saying. I ended the relationship with him, and it was the first time that I had ever ended a relationship with someone. And I've only been in two relationships in my life. So he was one of them. And then the other one was a guy that I dated in college. And the guy in college broke up with me. And so, as I mentioned before, I'm just someone where, like, there's something, I think it's just because it's something I'm used to, but like I'm used to having dealt with rejection. And so when he broke up with me, it hurt, but like I had a process, you know, you break out the Ben and Jerry's, the Mary J. Blige, I'm not going to cry. Like, you know, I have that system down to a T. But it was much harder this time around knowing that like I wasn't breaking up with him because I didn't care about him, but I was breaking up with him because he's going through a rough patch in life. I'm going through a transitional period, and it just didn't feel like it made sense to be in a relationship right now. Like there was too much other stuff that meant more to me, I realized, than the emotional balance of taking, not taking care of someone, but you know, when you're in a relationship with someone, their good days are your good days, but their bad days are also your bad days. Mm-hmm. And like, it was just too much for me. So
I feel that. I think, it's the case where people also grow, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like I literally made a chart of what me and my ex, where we were, what were we doing with our lives, like who I was, who she was when we met. And then the chart was like, okay, did we get worse or did we get better or what did we add? And I, like, from that time and through that year, I was just up. Like, I just continuously, like, added things to my life, added different ventures, got busier, worked out, did this, did that. And her life, which is already established and great, was just the same. And then you see that, like, we met at this point for a reason, and through growth, you can't reach for them anymore. And then you just outgrow people. And it's not a bad thing, but it's like, so is life, right? You know, you move on and you gain that lesson from someone. I don't think I regret any of my exes. I don't know if you do.
No, I don't regret them. I mean, my first relationship was rough because he had racist parents, and that kind of drove a wedge into it.
can you go get the bread? Oh, I'm sorry, you're the girlfriend. Oh, I apologize. It's the other colored one that helps us around the house. Apologies. Well, can you get the bread? I don't
know. That was a wild ride.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Why'd you even meet them if you knew they were like racist?
No, I didn't meet them. They didn't want to meet me. That was the whole thing, is that, I mean, this is, I feel like, for another episode, but like when we broke up, I was in Italy. I was studying abroad at the time, and he always kind of warned me about his parents. But in my naive mind, because it was our first relationship, it was just kind of like, no, like, I'm sure it can't be that bad. Like, I'm sure that you're just kind of like overhyping it. This is where I realized, you know, that Maya Angelou quote, like, when they show you who they are the first time, believe them. And there are many times in which I have been checked with that quote.
Oof.
And so, he was kind of saying it, but I was like, no, like, you're so great. So I can't, I think, you know, and he would say this too. He was like, they just need to get to know you.
Oh, God.
Like, once they get to know you, it'll be different.
Wow.
And the funny thing is that, so I was abroad when they found out about me because, and he was Jewish. So I was staying at his place for a little bit in between when I went abroad and when school ended. And so he had to go up to I think his family was like skiing somewhere in like Big Bear or something. And so he and I spent a few days together, and then he had to go up there. But he needed to drive one of his parents' cars up there. So we ended up going to the parents' house so that he could get the car. And as we were walking in the neighborhood, somebody saw us holding hands. And so they went and told his mom.
Oh, my God. The neighborhood? What is this? Get out vibes?
Yeah.
We got a new one. Yeah, it's like, good Lord.
I know. Mess. And so somebody told the mom that they saw him holding hands with a black girl. And so the mom confronted him about it. And I had like a big showdown with him about it and was like, I can't believe you're dating a black girl. Like, you know, I always told you to stick to your own kind and like all of this.
Jesus.
Yeah, like deep ridiculousness. And so, again, I'm abroad. So he like messages me one day and he's like, hey, Daisha, I really need to talk to you. It's serious. And so I'm thinking, I was like, well, I don't think he would cheat on me. He just doesn't seem like the type to do that. And like the mom was just so far removed from my mind. I wasn't even thinking about that. And so I was like, well, okay. And in Italy, I think I was like 12 hours ahead of him. So I was like, I mean, I guess I could get up at 6 a.m. And he's like, okay, perfect. So I was like,
what?
All right, this is some real legit shit if he's making me get up at 6 a.m. to talk to him. So I get up. And yeah, he tells me about how his mom was just like, somebody saw us holding hands and she just started like crying and was like, I can't believe you're dating a black girl.
Oh my God.
And like, you know, I thought I raised you better. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Raised you better?
Uh-huh. Like just all of this.
I knew I shouldn't have bought that FUBU jersey for you when you were 5 years old. Like, what the hell do you mean?
Yeah. And, like, she didn't even want to know my name. Like, I was just the black girl to her. And she was like, I don't want to meet her. I don't want to know her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How are you that racist?
I'm sure, and it's funny because I'm sure in her mind, she didn't see herself as racist. And I think the crazier thing, too, when I tell this story to people is that, so she is Latina.
She's a Latina?
She's a white Latina. So
yeah, Latins are pretty racist.
Yeah, they were Bolivian. And so, and it's funny because the dad didn't care. So the dad was a white Jew, and then she was a white Latina Jew.
Gotcha.
And yeah, she was the one that had more of a fuss than anything. Like the dad was just kind of like, look, your mom's pissed. So, you know, I have to be on her side.
Fuck.
But like, yeah, I didn't really necessarily get the same vibes of intense racism from the dad as much as the mom. Like the mom just.
I got it. That's my food here.
Yeah.
Hello?
Well, I just want y'all to know that Eli is not here for me to speak my truth this morning.
What?
Because homeboy is out here ordering Noodle World Jr. in the middle of my sermon.
Okay, I'm sorry that I get hungry. I have to roll out of bed earlier and come to you. So I have to get the gear ready. But if we have a Patreon, oh man, I wish there was an account where we could get funds to like help us through this journey.
Funds to get you Noodle World Jr. in the middle of my talking?
Yes, exactly. Anyway, Daisha's racist ass, boyfriend's parents.
Ugh.
And continue.
Yeah, I'm like trying to remember where I was in the story.
So it was like we were talked about. He watched too much MTV, and she's upset by that.
Yeah. So she was just. I think the thing that really stuck with me was the fact that she was just like, I thought I raised you to stick to your own kind or something like Jesus. That. And I was like, that's just some like next level shit. But again, I was young and naive. I think I was like 19, and I was just like, I want to work through your racist parents. I don't know. And so we didn't initially end the relationship at the point in which he told me that we were going to try and make it work. Because he was just like, I vehemently don't stand behind my mother. I think that what she's doing is trash. Like, I like you, so I want to keep dating you. And just, but like, just know that this is a thing.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I think I was saying, like, you know, she didn't want to know me. She didn't want to meet me. I was forever going to just be the black girl in her mind. And so that was a lot to process, but I guess it kind of helped being abroad. But I will say, I think the thing that was, I'm someone where, like, I've been through an evolution of, like, who I am. And, like, when I was younger, like, I wanted nothing more than to be in a relationship. And so I always felt like I would do whatever it takes to make it work.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
Terrible.
I know. Well, that's society at work for you right there. I would never think about doing it. I mean, well, that's why I think the breakup that I had now is such an evolution from where I was back then, because I clearly should have broken up with him at that point, but I was just kind of like, we'll figure it out, like, you know. And I think what's also funny about that is that I never saw a longevity in that relationship that I had with him, but I think that was me learning how to confront my issues of like being alone and how I felt like being alone made me feel so inadequate and how, yeah, like throughout my life, it's like I was saying, like I was so, like I loved doing stuff. I loved winning awards. I loved all that kind of stuff. But I felt like there was no validation in it unless I had a partner on the side. Like, I needed to have that long list of accolades and then be like, and she has a boyfriend, a longtime boyfriend of 2.5 years. Like, I mean, you just always kind of see that. You don't really see women just being like, yeah, and I live alone, doing my own thing, being a boss queen on my own terms kind of thing.
It's like, so how many cats do you have? That's unfortunate. Well, that's the interesting, right? Well, like, as a guy, I can be alone and be accomplished and have all these things. And
it's revered when you all are alone. Like, look at how focused he was. Look at how determined he was about his work. Whereas, like, for us, it's like, look at how sad it is that she's so accomplished. Like, she let work get in the way of love. Like,
Yeah, it's like, man, it's like what Kanye says. You, how do you stay faithful in a room full of hoes? How do you say yes in a room full of noes? I'm just saying that's an example.
Wait, say the second part again. I missed.
It's like how do you walk into a room full of, how do you say yes in a room full of noes? How do you stay faithful in a room full of hoes? And I'm like, you know what? That's real, Kanye.
You would take it.
No, I'm just saying.
Like, I know.
But it's like, it's that whole, like, thing, you know? It's like, because, you know, I can mess around, and that's fine, and I'll be single, and I'll be revered by that. But yeah, like you're saying, I'm agreeing with you. Where, yeah, you're the weird cat lady if you don't have a partner by your side. But, got me thinking, though, I did get broken up with.
Oh, okay.
My first love in seventh grade. I can't believe I forgot about this. It was 7th, 8th grade over the summer.
Mm-hmm. I was sitting here trying to act like I've never been broken up with before. I know. I'm so amazing.
I guess, my first love, and maybe my heart was broken, so the foundation of my love life is just that, so I never want to feel that again. But I remember it was over the summer, and it was just like, just, you know, so cutesy, middle school, no sex or anything, like terrible makeout sessions. We had the whole summer together, and it was like beautiful. And then I went to my grandma's house for the summer for a couple weeks. And then she calls me crying, saying, hey, I was at a rave. Mind you, this is like middle school. I don't think she was at a rave. But she's like, and these Latin kings said they're going to beat you up if I don't break up with you. And I'm like, and I'm my dumbass. I was like, oh, man, that sucks. Oh, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. Oh, I guess we do have to break up, I suppose. And then tell me why I go on Xanga. If anyone doesn't know, Xanga was like before Facebook, before MySpace. You know, there was Facebook, then before that was MySpace, and before that there was Xanga. But I went on Xanga, I looked through the messages. She's saying she loves some other dude. And I was crushed. I was crushed. And
wait, what do you mean messages? Like messages to you two? Or?
No, like if you go on Xanga, it's like a page, their page, and you see the messages they send to other people. So it was like out there in the open of like saying how she loves this guy. And like, I was like, did I just get cheated on? Like my first love in middle school, like cheated on me, like essentially. And I fell for it. So like my grandma was so confused because I was depressed in my covers eating ice cream, just like under the, like stereotypical heartbreak. I realized at such an early age. But that's, I just reminded me of that. Like that's where I pulled out the Haagen-Dazs. And like every channel's like something love type. Mm-hmm. That was a thing. And then I probably subconsciously vowed to never feel that again.
Never get broken up with?
Never again.
So then do you feel like it's a pride thing and that's why you've never gotten broken up with somebody?
It's not a pride thing. I think it's the case where I'm just not interested as much as they are. Like,
oh, so you feel like in all the relationships you've been in thus far, it's kind of like you had the rosy-colored glasses phase and then you just kind of seem like you're the one that falls out of it first.
Yeah. It's kind of like we were talking about, like, how do people not see it coming?
Yeah.
Like I was in a relationship where she had no idea. And I'm like, this has literally been the most stressful. Like, you've told me you were more insecure than ever in our relationship. I have more anxiety than ever in our relationship. We've been fighting for the last 6 months. And we've only been together for like a year. So I'm like, how do you not see that? Like, she thought we were going to be together forever. And I'm like, what? I'm like, how are you not? This isn't normal. So it's weird that, you know, I don't know, that's the case sometimes. But yeah, it's like starts off really fun and good and all that. And then eventually, like, I'm not interested anymore. And they still are. And I feel bad because, like, oh, they're nice, good people. Maybe we can make it work. But you're not happy. But I don't trust my emotions, which is the problem.
Well, so it's interesting that you say that because I'm someone where I feel like I've been that girl. Mm-hmm. But I won't go and say that I didn't see it coming because I think about my racist boyfriend's parents. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember after it happened, like, again, he was very recommitted to the relationship. So I was like, okay, well, he cares about me. And, oh, I think I was getting into this and then we got into a tangent, but I remember feeling like, oh my gosh, like I just need to get back to LA. I need to be with him. I need to support him through this. Meanwhile, it's like, no, you don't need to support that motherfucker. You need support. Mm-hmm. Like, that's he don't true. Need nothing. Like, he just told you he had racist parents who don't even want to know your name.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, that was my thought process. I was like, I for that month, I just like couldn't enjoy Italy. I just wanted to like get back to him.
God. And
I know, isn't it crazy?
No, sucked.
See, but like, I think I will say that as much as the breakup hurt, it truly was a blessing because he broke up with me a month before I had to leave. And so for me, it was just kind of like, well, fuck him. I can't believe I wanted to go back to LA for him. Like, I'm going to really enjoy this last month in Italy. And it was like the best last month. Like, I went to Cinque Terre, which is like the most beautiful place in Italy if you've never been.
Yeah.
You know, I went to all these museums. That's where I like kind of fell in love with Marilyn Monroe because they were doing this exhibit at the Salvatore Ferragamo Museum.
Shameless
she
plug.
Has no, I'm not. It's not a shameless plug. Anyway, but they were. She had a lot of his shoes, and so they did a whole exhibit about her life. And like, she felt like she became like a kindred spirit after that. And so I just kind of felt like I was having like an eat, pray, love for a month after the breakup. But yeah, like I remember when it happened, it hurt, but I wasn't acting brand new about it. It was one of those things where like I could feel it coming, like, you know, like because he was he wasn't an only child, but he had a half older sister that was old enough to where he was essentially an only child and he was the youngest one. And like all he's ever really known is his parents. Like his parents are such a huge part of his life. And like I was clearly driving such a wedge in between them. And so, and then he was going through stuff with like job stuff. He had just graduated from college and was trying to navigate that transition.
Do you still have feelings for this guy?
No, not at all. So far removed. This
is like very like detailed, long.
Well, because it was a very traumatic experience. Like I think that'll always kind of sit with me, you know, but, yeah, he was going through some shit, and because I also think, I mean, I think I remember it because, like, it was such a growing period for me. I feel like it was such a defining marker of me really kind of saying, like, I cannot believe that I was willing to go through all of that for a relationship. And I think that relationship was the relationship that just kind of taught me that, like, this doesn't necessarily need to be a necessity in your life, and this doesn't have to, like, you can have your success outside of somebody else, and you don't need that to define you. So I would say it was it's also like, again, I've only been in two relationships in my life. Like,
really?
Yeah, I said that. Like, he was my first, and then the one that I just left. Yeah.
That's why you have such long material for this. You only have two stories. Like, I have like seven
because girlfriends. You're a hoe.
Who's that? I'm a hoe.
You're a hoe.
How am I a hoe if I'm in a relationship with these people?
You're in a relationship every 5 minutes.
I am not in a relationship every 5 minutes, thank you very much. There are very long periods of singlehood.
Sure.
But yeah, that makes sense. Because I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so from New York. Oh, that's so-and-so from...
Yeah, and you probably Philly. Didn't that's care so-and-so. About your relationships.
I did care.
I care very I deeply about care. The people I was
Well, the
with.
Thing is, you're I came at it a different way. Like, you were very much like, oh, man, I got to pull back and focus on me. I went through the path of, like, I was so about me that I had to learn to start giving.
I can believe that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying we all have our paths of learning. But, yeah, that's kind of what I realized, especially in my last relationship, is like to put the time in for my personal life and make that important, because my grandma at an early age always said, like, you stay single forever. Like, every time my aunts got, like, boyfriends, she got pissed off. Like, my aunt met the love of her life in college, football player, cheerleader, like, still married with kids. My grandma's still salty about it. Like, so your ass should have stayed single. You could have got a master's degree. Why'd you do this? So, like, I was, like, her favorite grandkid, and she, like, instilled that before I went to college. She's like, you focus on you. Mm. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then that led to all the broken hearts that I had to occur. But now that I'm getting older, like, it's like, oh, man, I got to make time for that personal life and give time in that relationship. So I really tried last go around, but I think it helped for sure. But I'm still very much, like, about me. I don't know. That's a problem. But
I mean, I don't think it's a problem. It's kind of like what I was saying before, where it's like everyone is this. We always do this either or thing where it's like I have to only be about me and thus I'm going to live a lonely life, or I have to be all about a relationship and, you know, I won't be fulfilled in my career, but at least I'll be fulfilled in love. And like, I think it really is just about where is your heart leading you right now.
Right.
And if your heart is truly leading you towards your career and those ambitions, then I think that you have a right to be able to fulfill that. Like, I don't think that you should feel pressured or obligated to have to be in a relationship to validate your existence and your accomplishments. But I mean, if your heart's also telling you right now that you really want a relationship and whatever, then I would say go for that too. The only hesitation I have about that is that I feel like there is a societal pressure, again, that you could be feeding into, and that you should take time and clarity to understand whether or not that's coming from a place of like, I need to be validated, or if it's truly something you feel like you're ready to have in your life at that point.
Mm. Damn, hitting with the knowledge.
That's how I do.
What if my heart says I want to be a hoe?
Then, you know, be a hoe. Just make sure that everybody knows that you out here trying to be a hoe. Don't sit here and say that you trying to be...
I'm looking for love.
Yeah, and then you really out here trying to be a hoe. I think that, you know, you get into fuckboy territory when you're not honest about your intentions.
No, that's very true. I always keep it real, but it's I don't know. There's been situations where I was like, literally, like, I made a blueprint, I made a pamphlet, I made an instructional guide, I did all that. It's like, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm about, ain't nothing gonna happen, this is what it is. Okay, one night later, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. She's like, oh, you piece of shit, you ain't shit, man, trash, yada, yada, yada.
So listen, I will... All I can say is that you need to know what you have done. And if you can truly say that you were 110% honest about your intentions, then, like, that's all you can do.
And that's on them.
Yes, because I agree. I do think that there are some people that enter into... I will say that I think that there are people who overhype things because they're dealing with their ego and their feelings being hurt, and I don't think that that's fair. And I do think that there are some guys that get unnecessarily called fuckboys when, like, they were truly being honest. That
you.
Doesn't mean that that's
Thank
all of y'all
you.
Motherfuckers.
I appreciate
don't
that, Daisha.
And didn't nobody say I was talking about
Thank
you.
Thank you so much for validating me. That's what I need right now in my life, is to be validated for my fuckboyness. Thank you, Daisha.
Anyway, again, that doesn't mean that that's all of y'all. Because some of y'all are truly fuckboys.
There's fuck girls too, okay?
Okay, sure. But like, you know, I think at the end of the day, it really truly is about being honest about your intentions and like just laying it out there. And as long as you can say and you can point to instances in which you were like, hey, I let you know this is how I felt, then, you know, that's all you can do.
I'll take that back to relationships. I think that's a good way to go about a relationship, to start seeing like the beginning of the end. Because it's really hard. I love in the beginning of relationships how we're like, yeah, I'm very open. I keep it real. And then she's like, I keep it real too. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then you start getting into
Why you got to talk like that?
I don't know. It's just like, you start getting into the thick of it. And that's when people start getting like staying within themselves, especially when they're about to break up. Like, it's not an open conversation. You never have the conversation. So I'm thinking about breaking up with you. I'm like, that rarely happens, I feel. So that's the hard thing about it. And I think that's when it gets in that crappy territory where I could say, like, I'm not happy. I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. But you're never like, I'm thinking about breaking up with you. I think I might break up with you next week.
Well, I mean, the thing is that it's a process. And I think the other thing that people have to understand is that who you enter into a relationship on day one isn't going to be the same person that you're dating at day 30, and that through the process of being together and learning each other, you guys are going to be figuring out where your boundaries and your limits are.
Yeah.
Like, there are plenty of people who on day one would be like, oh, if you go to a club and a girl wants to grind on you, like, I'm totally fine. But then let's say, like, day 30, she goes out with you and you're at the club grinding on some girl, and she's like, actually, you know what? Not about this.
Ridiculous.
There are some people that will try to hold her to day one standards and be like, well, you said on day one it was fine. And it's like, no, like, I think that everyone is allowed to evolve and change. And it's the same thing with, like, when you enter into that, what's the term? Not one night stand, but like someone who's like just a fuck buddy. When you're entering into that fuck buddy kind of stage with someone where it's just like on day one, you both agree that you were purely here for sex, that there are no emotions to develop.
Right.
But then over time, somebody happens to develop emotions. I don't think that you should be mad that the other person developed emotions. I just think that it's another time for you to have a conversation and reevaluate where you're at. Where if you're still in that, you know, I just want to have sex, like I don't want anything emotional to go on, and they're like, I'm starting to develop feelings. You know, that's where it's you then need to reestablish your position and say, sorry, I just want sex. You know, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore, or, you know, firmly put your foot down and say, we shouldn't do this anymore because mm-hmm. I don't want that. Or, I mean, you could start thinking about whether or not you see that person in that way too. But right. I think people are so afraid of reestablishing their boundaries and having conversations about stuff. And that's what I've never mm-hmm. understood.
I think that's really important. I think that's the key to, like, for, I think, throughout the relationship and also to not have a messy breakup
yeah.
is to have those check-ins, to reestablish how I'm feeling, to have those kind of vibes. Because, I mean, I feel like you're really, like, then going on the journey without a map, in a way.
Exactly. I want a relationship contract. And we have to talk about this
oh,
on a
God,
future
that
episode.
Sounds
no,
intense.
I mean, I think it sounds more intense than what it is. But, like, I would just love something that's just, you know, that we're both on equal footing. Because I just feel like relationships can get so messy. And I would just love to be like, hey, you know, we established this. Maybe we can re-talk about how to go about this now or something.
Or just bring in a lawyer or something?
No,
or
you don't
like,
need
he watches
a lawyer.
Us like have sex and it's like, well, this, she didn't come enough. This is, we got to renegotiate the contracts. That just sounds stressful. I think you just check in and be like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm like, I'm dope. Awesome. And then you keep moving. But I think the issue with the relationships, though, to not make it messy, then if you go in it without that map, is how you lead to, like, infidelity and, like, looking elsewhere and, like, doing those things where it's, like, you're not checking in, you're not having those communication, you don't see the shit's going bad, and one person... And also, it's just, like, you set it up so you're not, like, emotionally, like, immature about things. I think if you...
But see, here's my plug for a relationship contract is that it could just be like, okay, every month we're going to check in about the relationship. And like you both agree that you're going to set aside time every month to check in about the relationship. And then it's like, should someone not be holding up their end of the bargain, like you could be like, it doesn't have to be like you're going to have sex with me twice a week or something like that. But like just something, because like you said, like I just feel like if there's nothing defined, you have to remember at the end of the day, people are always going to be defending their ego. So let's say you talk about something and you agree verbally, but there's no record of it and you go back to check in on it and they're like, well, I never said that, because they don't want to be held accountable to it. And so this is just there is a sense of like accountability and honesty and trust, because some people will do that, you know, because they're just kind of like, I don't want to deal with the shame that I feel about not holding up this bargain to you that we agreed on.
That just sounds stressful. I just picture like my girlfriend just like coming out and be like, whoosh, like receipts. You sign here that we're going to do this and that and that and that and that.
Well,
I'm
then
like,
maybe
God,
you need to reevaluate the girls that you're dating.
I'm just like, oh, because they don't want contracts and lawyers and renegotiations. I get what you're saying. I get it, but oof, that does not sound good. It's like, you said you're going to do this. I'm like, oh man, that's the one thing.
But I don't think that it should be held up like that. I just feel like there should just be something there that just kind of establishes like where you guys are at now, so that you can also see like growth or decline. Like, I think I'm just someone that really likes having clear, defined boundaries, because I want to put my mental space into creating. And so I don't want to be going back and trying to catalog in my head, like, oh, what did we say on that conversation like 2 months ago about what we would do? Like,
Women already have the contracts instilled, like etched into their brain. Like,
no, we don't.
Oh, no way. Every time I get into an argument, they always remember everything. They remember everything. You said 2 months ago, we were supposed to go here. I'm like, when the hell did we say that? Like, oh, when we were like running and passing. Like, that was like literally one moment. They have to remember everything.
Because men don't remember fucking nothing, and they don't hold up their ends of the bargain, which is why I'm saying, like, I am saying, sure, maybe you might, like, I don't agree with you, but at the same, just in the sake of what you are saying, like, I think that if women are cataloging it like that, like, just imagine how much mental bandwidth that takes up. And, like, I don't want to take that up doing
that. Tell
me about it. Like, I want to be able to focus on other things. But at the same time, y'all motherfuckers don't like to be held accountable to nothing.
No, please.
So I would like to have something that's there so that I don't have to waste my mental bandwidth trying to hold you accountable to what you say. And that is just there. And that you can't go and say, I didn't say that. Y'all love to say, I didn't say that.
I don't think I've ever, well, I probably said, but not, yeah, in ter- yeah. not in serious terms. Why do I feel like when you were in a relationship, you probably had like 8 more whiteboards in here just about like the relationship and like, okay, this is where you are. This is quarter two, our projected sales of our relationship and sex has gone up 10% and everything else.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, God. Okay, this is the difference between me and you. It's like, I'm more like freestyle.
I'm just very organized. Like, I don't, and maybe it's honestly probably where I'm just at in my life right now. This is why I shouldn't be in a relationship and why I don't want one is because, like, I feel like unless I can compartmentalize, like, when we're meeting, what we're doing, whatever, I don't think I can handle the whimsicalness of, like, just randomly hanging out. Like, I just want to know, like, we're going to hang out on this day at this time. We're going to have this conversation at this time. Because I got shit to do.
Just hear this, like, journey of Daisha. You heard, like, the 19-year-old Daisha, like, bright-eyed, bushy-tail, wanting a relationship so badly. Just wants love. Will bend over backwards for Aryan Nazi parents. And look at her now. She, like, literally projected sales and schematics and statistics and pie charts. Just, and if it makes sense, she'll indulge in a relationship. I get it. I mean, do you, boo, for real. I think it's really good what you said about, like what is, like, calling to you now? What do you want to put your energy in now? And it's, like, with me, like, the only time I want a girlfriend is on Sundays because I'm not, like, doing anything. Like, that's when I want to cuddle and do stuff. Whereas during the week, I'm, like, just focused on work. So I'm, like, this isn't...
So, like, that's basically what I want. Like, I would want someone that I could hang, like, know that we are going to be... in each other once. Sorry, I don't mean it
in
like
each
that.
Other.
I
you
don't
say
mean
in
it
each other.
Like that. But like up enveloped in each other for like one day or a couple hours a day that day, and then that's it. Like I can go and create and not think about the relationship at all. And yeah, that's what I want. I feel like we want the same things. You're just being a dick.
I just don't like pie charts. That's for a relationship.
I'm not saying you have to fucking have pie charts. Like, I'm just saying that it would be nice to have something that is established so that I don't have to think about it. I don't want to think about it.
I feel you. I agree. That's hard, though. It's pretty difficult.
Which is why I think a relationship contract would be beneficial. Jeez, but whatever. No, whatever. But yeah, I think it's interesting when people say that they can't see a relationship, like a breakup coming. Because, like I said, like, I felt it coming, so it didn't shock me when it came. It just kind of, it just hurt, and I was grieving through it, and I felt like that was okay. But I think when people say they can't see it coming...
A lot of people are in denial, too. I think a lot of people are in denial. With the people that I've dated and I've broken up with and things like that, it's... they know. Like, I know they know, and they get it. And hindsight's 20/20. Like, they look back, and, like, I had conversations with exes, and, like... It's like, yeah, we were terrible together. Like, they would say, like, we were terrible together. But on that moment where we're breaking up, they don't want to let me go. Because it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary to realize what your life is going to be like without this person. The idea of love and relationship is so fascinating because it's that song, Now You're Just Somebody That I Used to Know. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like you literally go from, like, I know what your butthole looks like to, like, literally, you're just a stranger to me that I just walked past, like, on the street. It's such a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never talk to you. And that's why it's so daunting to, I think, break up with people. And that's why people don't want to let go. But it's that person that already made that step in their head that's like, I don't want this.
So I feel like that feeds into, like, I feel like you become somebody I used to know is, like, after a messy breakup. And I just think that, like I think about my ex right now. Like, I don't even really like calling him my ex because it's, like, in my life, like I feel like an ex is somebody that you're never going to talk to again.
Right.
Like, I think about my first boyfriend. Like, he is truly an ex. Like, I don't have any desire to want to talk to him again. But I think about my boyfriend, my last boyfriend now, and it's, like, I still care about him as a person. I love his mom. I love his family. Like, I don't want him to be somebody that I used to know.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like we ended in a way in which, like, we could still, like, maintain something. So, like, again, like, I just don't, I feel like there's rhetoric, this unwritten rule that your breakups always have to be messy and that you can never
it's
talk
true.
To that person again. Because I also felt that with my first, I tried to be friends with my first ex, and he was making it so messy. He was like, yeah, like, I want to be friends with you, and, like, I'm still here for you, I support you. And so I would try to hang out with him, and he would always cancel last minute, And then I found out through a mutual friend that, like, he actually really, it was very awkward, the idea of him wanting to hang out with me. And I was like, Heffa, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I just straight up called him out. And yeah. I was like, listen, like, I don't need to be friends with you. Like, I'm a big girl. Like, I'm not asking for us to be friends. But you were the one that was sitting here saying that you wanted to be friends with me. And so I genuinely wanted to maintain that because, like, outside of your racist parents, like, you're a nice person.
I don't know, man. I mean, you definitely need a break. Like, you can't just break up and then jump into being friends. I agree with that. You can. Like, I still follow my ex on Facebook, on social media and stuff. We haven't, like, blocked each other. We haven't done all that. Sometimes you do, yeah. just to get away from it all.
Yeah.
But it's to the point where, like, she reached out to me and was like, hey, just know I got you. I'm looking out for you, you know, if you need anything. Like, and then, like, I think that's fine. Like, you can have that. And it's totally possible. Fellas, all you need to do is be completely honest. I know it's scary. I know it's scary, and you want to, like, say this or that or go that way or do the tricks and dips and daps. All you have to do is be completely and utterly honest. She's going to cry. They're going to cry. Yep. They're going to be upset. They're going to yell. They're going to do whatever. But at the end of the day, that motherfucker was honest.
I agree. But it's also on the other side, too. Like, I think that I think that there are times where men don't know how to handle no. Like, that was also an issue in ending my last relationship, is that, you know, I felt like he wasn't really trying to hear me out when I was trying to hint that this wasn't going to work for me anymore. But I do think that honesty is key, and I also agree that you shouldn't jump into trying and being friends right away. But, like, here's what was frustrating, is that, like, I'm just a very present person in my emotions and my feelings. And so, like, to me, like, I think we broke up in, like, March, and then I think the next time I saw him again was in May, when he happened to graduate and I happened to be around. And then I will say, so with this one, what happened was that he was posting, like, Spanish song lyrics, and when you translated them, it was like, oh, I miss you, I miss when you were by my side, all this stuff.
The lyrics.
And so I was like, oh, does this mean that he misses me? I asked my friends, and they were just like, I don't know, it could be, I don't know. And so I asked him, I was like, hey, like, were you interested in getting back together? Like, was this about me? If not, like, sorry if I'm overstepping, it just felt weird. And he was like, oh, no, I just really love posting, like, song, like, lovey song lyrics, but, like, you know, you're still, like, I still want to be friends with you. I still value you so much. You need someone that's better than me. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, fine. Right. Like, I was totally fine with it. But then anytime that I tried to talk to him or see him after that, he was so weird. And I was just like, again, it's like you said with honesty. I was like, if you can't handle being friends with me right now, I am 110% right. fine with that. I just need you to say it.
Right.
Because you keep telling me that you want to be friends with me and that you're fine. So I keep thinking that you're okay. And I've been okay. Like, I processed it. I was fine.
Right.
So now, like, again, like I said, like, I liked you as a person, so I would like to maintain a friendship with you, but you clearly can't. And so eventually, right. I just had to say, no, I'm not this. I'm shutting the book on this. This is done. But it was like you saying, like, I just think that being honest is so important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just, with the fear of breaking up, I think that's, like, a lot of guys are emotionally immature, where they end up getting side chicks, they end up cheating, they end up sabotaging the relationship to get out of it because they can't handle breaking up with the person.
Which is trash, because I think a lot of it is that you, like, I think weirdly, in a sense, there's this pride that, like, oh, she won't be able to go on without me, like, you know, it's going to be so messy, she's going to get loud and whatever, and so, like,
And mind you, not only men, a lot of different, like, women and everyone else, okay. they're entirely capable of doing this as well. Mm-hmm. Just saying, for the sake of my perspective, this is where I'm coming from, but yeah, just had to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's triggered.
No, I'm just triggered. Saying. We can't just demonize group of people.
I know.
But yeah, but that's how it is. It's like you get emotionally immature. Like, you start having that wandering eye, and without, like, checking in and having that open communication, because it's that fear. So, but I learned through my experiences and breakups. Some were, like, bad. Some were better. But it's like just being completely and utterly honest. And my mom told me this early on, was like, Eli, all you got to do is be honest and you'll always have a second chance with them. And it's like, because they're going to meet a lot of shitty guys and a lot of fuck boys, but they're always going to look back at you. It's like, you know what? He dumped me, but, you know, at least he was honest. So
I like that. So I guess when we think about wrapping this up, like, I would say don't ignore the sign. I think being... Like, the potential of a breakup is hard, but I would say if you kind of feel anything in any way, like, don't act brand new about it. Like, you know, I think about with my relationship with my first boyfriend, like, it was hard, but I was just like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I didn't see the signs that this was going to come. And I just kind of accepted it and I moved on. But then on the other side, I think that especially if you are the one breaking up with the person, you need to be 100% clear and honest with the person that you are breaking up with in saying what you feel like you need going forward, whether that's I can't be friends with you or, you know, I wouldn't mind maintaining a friendship with you in a couple months. But I think that you need to be as honest as you can be for where you're at in the moment. And I know that it's hard to dissect where your feelings are at because you're going through a whole bunch of stuff. But I think that you need to at least get a clear snapshot as to where you're at in that moment. Because you can always change. You can always, you know, reach out and, and do other things. But I think that if you just leave it, if you say something that you don't actually mean, you're just going to make the relationship more messy. You're going to make the breakup messier.
For sure. Yeah, I would say, yeah, the honesty is key. I mean, it is very scary. You kind of, and people end up staying in things longer than they should. And that's where it could get very toxic. Where, I mean, you have to go to your community and people that you trust and people that, like, you've known. Like, I got through a relationship, or got through a breakup by telling, like, my family about the relationship, telling, like, friends that I trust, but I've known through different, like, timelines. And they all agreed on the same thing. And it's, like, very validating for your concerns of why you want to end it.
Yeah.
And it motivates you to go forward, to be honest and know that you're true, because we tend to question our emotions and question how we feel. So it's like to use that use your community to validate your feelings and be honest. And if you're ever worried about you'll never be able to see them again, just know that if you're honest, you'll always have a second chance.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that you mentioned, too, is like, I guess closure is always going to be a hard thing. But I think the best thing that you can do is just if you're especially if you're the person that's breaking up with someone, like just have some sort of clear reason. I know that there's never going to be enough clarity on the receiving person's side. But like just being able to say, like, you know, with this recent relationship that I left, I was like, look, like I am in a transitional period in which I have been working my whole life to get to this point. I really want to go after it 110%. And like, it's not that I don't care about you. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I want to be out here banging hoes, as Eli would say.
Who said anything about me banging hoes?
No, I'm not saying, I'm just saying like that. I feel like that is your phrase, banging hoes.
Yeah, that's my tagline. Yeah, trademarked by Eli Vasquez Corp.
But yeah, it's not like I want to be out here in these streets. Like, I just want to work 110% on me and what I'm doing. And again, I could see that it was hard for him to take because he was like, we have such an amazing relationship. I don't see how you could give up on that. But it was just like, I'm sorry. Like, that's just where I'm at.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And you got to tell him. You got to be direct. You got to be direct because a lot of the people aren't going to want to end it. They're going to be like, why? Be like, no. And it's like, look, you shouldn't be with someone who doesn't want to be with you. Like, you shouldn't want, I don't want to do this with you next week. I don't want to do that with you. Like, do you really want, you don't want to be with someone like that. Same thing with, it was my relationship. Like, she cried, she was upset, but then ultimately she's like, I'm proud of you. Because, you know, I'm happy for you that you're committed to what you're trying to do with your life. And I'm happy for you. So, I don't know. And if you want to bang hoes, go bang your hoes. Four shows.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, like, you can put that in your description box. Banging hoes.
Banging hoes.
Eli banging hoes Vasquez. But yeah, I think that that's it for Real Talk Love Therapy. As you know, we love seeing your comments, your tweets, your DMs, your messages with us, your thoughts. Definitely feel free to hit us up on social media.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, send us your I guess breakup stories. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, like, yeah. I guess like What was your best breakup, and what do you think was your messiest breakup, and do you think that your messiest breakup had to be that way, and why do you think that it was?
Exactly, would love to hear all that. Create a whole community, an online community of lovers and lessons.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for listening to Real Talk Love Therapy. I am Eli, and this is Daisha, and we will. See
I can't you. Say my own name.
We will see you. You had the beginning. See you next week.
Okay.